As 37-year-old Tobin is like, that's kind of sweet. And that's like peak, my mom's name is Donna, and that is a peak Donna move. Like, she would 100% have done the same.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and today I am joined by another guest who is just going to bring all the love and Valentine's expertise, which is Tobin Hodges.
Hey, I'm not sure this was the right decision, but we'll see. Because like, I've been pretty grumpy about Valentine's in the past, but I do think I bring a good perspective on just Valentine's, especially in school. So, because I, you know, if you don't know, I'm the program director at Teen Life, and this is my first ever podcast. So, thank you for having me. I'm super,
of course,
like, thrilled to be here. But also, like, I taught for 14 years and saw a lot of dating, even in elementary school, which, you know, parents, if you think your kids are not dating in elementary school, you are sorely mistaken. So I'm sure we'll talk about that later on. But yeah, so I've seen a lot of dating at school, and I have a lot of hard, like, hot sports opinions about Valentine's as well. So I think this could be interesting. So
I am here for that. Maybe we'll balance each other
out
a little bit. I wouldn't say Valentine's is my favorite either, but we'll get to that. So, but first, before we get into Valentine's, because that is obviously coming next week, let's talk about dating at school. We've talked about on this podcast dating before, and especially what parents can be doing, but I wanted to take a look at school because that's different, because parents don't see what's happening at school, and more often than not, the school staff is there to kind of witness what's going on, and so they can take a bigger role at school. So what does dating at school look like?
It's very awkward, as you might, you know, guess.
Never.
I mean, you know, the thing is now is the parking lots and like the passing periods and like kids have classes together. Like that's all normal. And that's probably been around for years. The thing that's different now is like the connectivity that people have to each other, I think, amps it up because you can snap a kid. You can snap your boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, from your class, or you can text whoever else or whatever. Like, I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I'm old. You're not as old. But whenever I was in school, it was like, hey, I'm going to run by my girlfriend's locker and slide a note in her locker because that's how old I am, you know? And so, and you do like the special folds and like, you know, and like, then you, and it's like, it was a big deal. It was like in between class, like if she didn't have a note for you, it was like, it like ruined your day, you know? And so I think it's definitely more connected now, which makes it also more rampant in a way. And so I don't know about like, you know, I know elementary is a little bit different, but like high school, like even as like I've seen as a, you know, even in teen life, I've just seen a lot of like more, a lot more PDA than I would have been willing to do when I was that age. Like, you know, just holding hands, like arms around each other, like even kissing in the hallway, like even if it's just like a kiss goodbye, like I would have never done that when I was in high school, just for sheer embarrassment, you know, of that. And so there is some of that going on for sure. I think kids are more bold these days for sure.
I agree. And I think, I'm pretty sure it was my dad used to say, if you're doing that in public, what are you doing in private?
Yes.
If like that's your
marker.
And that is super scary because you're right. Even we were in a school a few weeks ago and I was in the back of a classroom and watching two kids sit together. And I was like, oh, you're like in class and like cuddling and under a blanket. Like what's going
on? Yes. And that's, you brought that up. Like they had a blanket too. Like I can't, like I, even at home, like, blankets were not allowed in my house. Like you if you had your girlfriend over, it was like, nope, blankets are, they're in the other room. Like, you know, and so that was, because I noticed that too. I think we even talked about that when we left, but it's just, you know, I mean, I'm a parent of a 13-year-old that hasn't quite figured girls out, I don't think, you know, like, which no one ever figures girls out, but you know, like he hasn't gotten to that point yet where it's like, oh, girls like me and I can have, you know, I can date and have girlfriends and stuff. And so I'm terrified of that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm already like, okay, how do I stop that? In fact, I even listened to your, like your dad's podcast last week and I was just like, you know, in my head taking mental notes of, oh man, like this is about to get real bad. So,
so it's coming. And as you said, it starts earlier and earlier. This is not just a high school problem. It's in middle school. It's happening in elementary school.
It's definitely, it's definitely happening in elementary. So if you think your kid's being sweet and innocent there, you need to, you know, be more into that. So
yes, exactly. But while they're at school, what can school staff be doing to encourage healthy relationships? Should they intervene? What does that look like?
I will tell you, I've learned in my 14 years of teaching that it's just, there's not a whole lot you can do. as a teacher, you can set boundaries in your classroom. Like, for instance, I probably would have a, hey, no blankets in class policy if I was the teacher, you know, but that wasn't my classroom. So I'm not going to, you know, judge them. But, you know, you can set boundaries of like, hey, like, let's keep our hands to ourselves. Like, mm-hmm. It sounds childish, but it's real, you know, maybe don't share a blanket. No physical affection in my classroom. When you're out of my classroom, that's on you, that kind of thing. But I think more importantly, as a teacher, it's better to not make it a thing. You know, like, I'm a pretty sarcastic person, and I was incredibly sarcastic as a teacher. And so, like, I would typically like, uh-oh, like, does your girlfriend know you're doing that? Or like, oh, you better check with the missus, you know, like, you know, just to kind of like take the edge off of it a little bit. But that's my personality. But there's not a whole lot that you can do as a school staff, because let's be real too, as a teacher, like, you have to be careful what you say, because if you say the wrong thing, that either embarrasses them or takes things to a place that the parent doesn't want it to, the next thing you know, you're getting a phone call saying you embarrassed my child in class today. And so, like, you kind of have to kind of keep your hands off of it, so you know you don't get too involved in it.
Right. And so when we talk about parents and teachers too, I wanted to give some tips for how we can set kids up for success, but also know what's going on. And one of the things, when you said embarrass, if you embarrass a kid, they're not going to come talk to you ever again
100%.
About anything, whether you're a parent or you're a school staff person. So I think one of the biggest tips we can give is to make sure you're keeping open communication, keep an open door policy where they know you can talk to them. A little sarcasm, a little joking, probably not going to hurt them. But if you just straight up embarrass them in front of a whole class or in front of all their friends, you have just shut that door and they're not coming back.
Yeah. And I will tell you, as a male teacher, I probably had a little bit more leeway on that stuff with the males. I would never do that with the girls. Like, because that's, you know, girls are way more sensitive about this stuff, understandably. But with a male, I have no problem messing with them, kind of being like, you know, jokey bro with them. But as you know, like, you just, especially as a parent, I think if you make it a big deal, either, you know, like you said, they're either not going to talk to you, or you're going to push them further into that situation that you may not want them in. It's kind of like, I mean, your dad even talked about it last week, like, he was trying to talk you away from a boy, you know, and he's doing his dad thing. But in reality, like, you're a good person and you were a good kid, you know, but some kids will take that as, well, since my parent said no, now I'm going to lean into this like 100% and I'm going to make them mad about it. And
Romeo
so,
and Juliet, you just create a whole situation. Yeah.
So it kind of goes back to like having an open door. This is parents and teachers, having an open door, but also setting the boundaries of, like, I know in my house growing up, it was, you don't go to your room together. Or if you are in your room because we're in the living room or whatever, the door is literally the door is open, you know? And, you know, there's times that, like, it's not appropriate for a person to be over, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And so as a parent, if you're kind of open about, I'm going to set boundaries for you and I'm going to give you a chance to break them. And if you break them, then I'm going to be that parent. But until you break them, I'm going to give you the freedom to kind of like live your life in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's hopefully how I'm going to parent. We'll see how it goes whenever it starts getting a little more intense. Yeah. And so, but also, like, my mom was really good about that. My mom was, especially, like, not just with girls and stuff, but with curfew. It was like, I'm setting this limit here. If you go over that limit, you're going to see something you don't want to see.
Right.
And so I was like, I wasn't a perfect child by any stretch. And I made a lot of dumb decisions, but I also knew that I did not want to cross my mom, because that was how I was able to do the things I wanted to do, is like, I was earning that trust. And I think, you know, even too, like, my mom was really good about creating relationships with my significant others. That sounds weird from high school dating person, you know, but like, if I brought a girl home, my mom was nice to them and she tried to relate with them and talk to them. And it wasn't like this awkward, you know, thing. And as a guy, like, going to a girl's house and meeting, like, Chris Hatchett is terrifying. Like, I will tell you. And, like, and I'm sure your dad was the worst of the worst about that, too, because he's asking a bunch of pointed questions and has no fear of making things uncomfortable, you know, and
fair
and stuff. But, like, I didn't want to go talk to a dad if he was going to be, you know, a jerk to me, or if he was going to make it uncomfortable for me. And so that also creates this bubble of, I'm not going to be, you know, upfront and honest with the parents of my girlfriend either, you know, and that doesn't work very well either.
Right. So even creating a safe space
for
them if they come over, and that's not to say that you can let them do whatever they want or be alone in their bedroom to be the cool parent, but make sure that you are creating a safe space where they'll continue to come over and you can continue to check on that. I think one thing too is go to games. Go to extracurricular mm-hmm. activities when you can, because that's where their school friends are. And if you're only interacting with your teen at home, you'll never know who they're spending their time with.
Yeah.
Unless you have that open relationship. And if you do, that's great. But if your kid is not one that's going to come tell you everyone that they're talking to, make sure you're going to the basketball game or the football game and pay attention. Mm-hmm. It is, as a coach's wife, my very favorite thing after the game to sit and watch the relationship, because you can always pick out of, oh, they're in a fight. Mm-hmm. Look at how they're talking to each other. Oh, he's starting to like her. What's going on? Like, you can totally pick up on that stuff if you're paying attention.
Yeah, and teachers do that too, by the way, in the hallways. And so it's always kind of entertaining, like, to kind of see this little, like, melodramatic soap opera happen in front of you in the hallways. And so that's totally a teacher thing too. It kind of gets you through the day sometimes. So
I love that. Man, that is my kind of people right there.
Yeah. The one thing that's different that I don't know how to deal with yet, and as a parent, I'm slightly terrified of, is the messaging apps and stuff. And I know that we've mm-hmm. talked about that on the podcast before, like, or you have, but, you know, back when I was a kid, like, we literally called on the phone. Or you had dial-up internet and you got on AOL Instant Messenger. And so, like, which even that back then was a big deal. But now it's like there's all kinds of messaging apps that have vanish mode and, like, mm-hmm. you can't keep track of. And even with my son, like, I told my son, like, I'm not going to put a lot of boundaries on your phone. But anytime I ask for it, you got to hand it over right away with no argument. Mm-hmm. And if you freak out, that's going to tell me, hey, there's something on here I don't want to see, you know. And so I think that that's the part where I'm still kind of learning, and I haven't had to go into that dark area yet of texting with girls and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, like, that's the thing that makes this even more, like, I think, necessary of, if you set the boundaries in your house, like, you know, when they're physically together, it'll help them with the boundaries of, you know, social media and messaging as well.
So for a trend this week, I wanted to talk about Valentine's Day. And I know Valentine's Day isn't until next week, but I wanted to hit it early so that parents could be ready for when it came. Because Valentine's Day, especially in your teenage years, man, there are few things that are as awkward or as terrifying, I feel like.
It's the worst. Yeah.
I know. Because if you think about it, it is the day where it's very obvious if you're liked by someone or have a significant other, or if you feel alone.
Yeah.
Which can just be a horrible place to be in. And so I want to talk about that. I did an unofficial poll on my Instagram, again, just to kind of get some stories and do people like it. For the first one, I just asked if people celebrated Valentine's Day as a teenager. 67% said yes, 33% said no. Someone told me she would have if she had a boyfriend. So sad.
Yeah.
I do think it is something that teenagers do. We talked about earlier, I feel like there are two kinds of people. There are either people who get a significant other right before Valentine's, so they have someone to celebrate with, or they break up right before so they don't have to mess with it.
Yeah, I definitely had a faction of bros in high school that we would keep track of, hey, it's almost February, so if you don't think this is going to be worth it, go ahead and end it now so you don't have to pay money. And take her out on a date and get stuff for her and stuff like that, which is not, I promise I'm a much better person now than I was back then. But, you know, it's, I hated Valentine's Day growing up, and I would always make the joke of, it's a Hallmark holiday, I don't want to celebrate it. You know, I do the dumb machismo thing about it, but I ended up doing it because that's what girls wanted, you know, and I wanted girls to like me.
Well, that's what I think. It's interesting. I don't want to talk a ton about Galentine's Day, but that has gained popularity over the last few years. So that's, especially for girls, I don't think there's a guy equivalent to that.
No, in fact, our church is doing this with the youth, and I said, I was like, we need to have like a Brolentine's Day or whatever, you know.
there's not a catchy phrase for that.
But there's a reason for it, and, like, you know, I think we can thank Leslie Knope for, you know, I think she's the one that kind of introduced this to us. But in reality, it's a great idea of, you don't need to worry about that stuff. Like, just get with your girlfriends, and even if you are not single and married or whatever, like, that is still something that I think women struggle with more of, like, just having a circle that's safe, you know, having the practice of having a safe space of a group of girls where you celebrate each other together is definitely awesome. And so I would much rather have a Galentine's every year and be left out of the situation than have a Valentine's and then, you know, have to be part of it. So
taking off from that, let's talk about some awful traditions, because I know you have some feelings about some of these.
I do. I think that, again, this just, it puts everybody's nerves on edge with Valentine's, and I saw this firsthand. Every year from like 7th grade to 12th grade, they did a big fundraiser at my school where they sold carnations for $2, and I'm sure that my high school wasn't exclusive in this.
Nope, we did it too.
Even as a young kid, I always loved that day because it was just wheels off drama, and I thrived on that. Like, it was just kind of like, you know, I wish back then I had a podcast or like a blog so I could kind of like, you know, mark these things down. But just like this sheer drama of, hey, it's third period and I haven't got my carnation yet. And someone's just, you can just see the girls pacing in their seats, you know, as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. And, or, oh, like, hey, this girl got a carnation and, you know, from her boyfriend, and his best friend is my boyfriend and I didn't get one. Or I just got this carnation from a secret admirer. I don't know who it is. And it just becomes
probably your mom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just a wheels off day of either everybody's elated or everybody is just angry because of whatever reason it didn't happen, you know? And so, I mean, even my wife, she doesn't expect a lot on Valentine's Day, except chocolate covered strawberries, because my wife loves to eat. She's a very big dessert person. When we were dating, I was like, well, I don't have time to go to the store. She'll be okay. And I learned my lesson that year that this is a non-negotiable. Every year, the expectation is very low, which I love my wife for that. It's very low, but the expectation is chocolate covered strawberries on Valentine's Day, or else I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. So I learned that lesson of even if it's just something small, but like, she's an adult, and even she still has that feeling of, I want to be appreciated. But yeah, carnations in high school were wheels off.
And that's what's hard about these teenagers, because now it seems so silly, but when you're in the moment and everyone around you is getting,
it's a big deal,
appreciated, and you're not, that's a huge deal. And I think that's what I've learned from this Instagram poll, is so many people had negative emotions associated with Valentine's. One of the questions I asked was, what was the worst Valentine's gift you got as a teenager? Some answers were 3-year-old expired candy.
It had to have been like we've had this candy in the pantry and I forgot, so let me grab this and throw it out there. But man, that shows that you probably didn't think this through.
Exactly. The big teddy bears were a very popular answer because as a girl, no one wants a massive teddy bear that you cannot put anywhere.
And as a boy, we're too broke for that. So I empathize.
Yes. And so we got lots of a huge teddy bear, a teddy bear that was maybe regifted.
That's a good one. Yes. I've done that before. I totally did that in high school.
Just like pick something up that's laying around the house.
Yep. Like, I had a little sister who was 15 years younger than me, and there was one year, I do remember this, there was one year where there was a bear laying on her bed, and I was like, she won't miss this, and I took it, and that was my gift, because I forgot. Yep, sure did do that. So,
oh no.
Kaylee, if you're listening, I apologize if you missed that bear now, but, like, yeah, I sure did do that. I don't remember, and the worst part is I don't remember what girl I did that to.
Oh so. No. I hope she's listening. Just kidding.
Yeah.
One of my favorite answers was a hamster.
Yeah.
Because someone
did not read the room probably pretty well. Because what in the world?
That is awesome.
Unless you're Sarah Brooks, you probably don't want a hamster for Valentine's Day.
Probably
so.
Not. Yeah. Probably not.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why Valentine's Day can be super cringy. I know I specifically had a date on Valentine's. This was college, early college. But I was not with my current husband. Current husband?
Well... That's one way to phrase it.
I'm so sorry, Josh. Oh, gosh. Anyways, it just didn't go well. Let's just say that if someone plans something for Valentine's and you're starting to not feel lovey-dovey feelings anymore, that makes for a really awkward date when they've put a lot of energy
Josh,
into
I'm really
it.
Hoping you're making good plans for Valentine's Day. So you can keep your title of current husband. So
yes, please. Well, and my favorite story, we heard a story yesterday, Tobin, that I wanted to make sure we hit.
This is good.
We promised to keep him anonymous, but this human,
keep him anonymous for obvious reasons, as you'll hear in a second, yeah.
So he was 16 years old, he planned this Valentine's date, he had been going out with this girl a few times, and she called right before the date, right before he was leaving to pick her up, and said that her friend got in a really bad car accident. And she had to go to the hospital to check on her friend. Fast forward a few days, he goes to school, asks another friend, hey, how's she doing? Or she got in an accident. And come to find out, there was no accident. This girl had totally made everything up. And when he asked her about it, she sounded like she was very dodgy mm-hmm. and just not going to go into it.
This is straight out of a sitcom, by the way. Yeah, this is like
truly. But my favorite part of the whole story was the next day his mom had left a Valentine on his bed that said, "I'll always be your Valentine."
Which, you know, as 37-year-old Tobin is like, that's kind of sweet. And that's like peak, my mom's name is Donna, and that is a peak Donna move. Like, she would 100% have done the same thing. So this anonymous person, I even empathized with him. I was like, my mom would have done the same thing. But
as a 16-year-old boy, probably not what you were looking for.
I would have been, I'm a mama's boy, so I probably would have been like, okay, thanks, mom. You know, but yeah, as a 16-year-old boy, you definitely are wanting more of a girlfriend affection than the mom affection. Valentine's Day. I have one I think that'll make this anonymous person feel a little bit better. I got dumped, I think I was 15. So I think I was a sophomore. I think I was a freshman, actually. I got dumped right before Valentine's Day for another kid. We were all in band together. So in band kids, man, there's a lot. If you ever want to like see drama, just go to the band hall on Valentine's Day. That's the place to be. Band kids are wild and they don't know how to keep themselves in control, like with stupid stuff and drama. So like a couple weeks for Valentine's Day, I had set up this, you know, I did what your guy did, set up like this date, you know, do like I'm gonna get my mom to drop me off, and you know, like, because you know, whatever, it's 15, so dumb when you think of it now. But she had called me and said, like, hey, I just don't think we should go forward these next few weeks. She did what you probably should have done, if we're being honest. Yes. You know, and actually been honest with the feelings. But the worst part was, she goes, you know, it's kind of like my socks in the sock drawer. Like, I like the old socks, but sometimes you just need a fresh new pair of socks. And I was just like sitting there, like,
no.
I mean, I vividly remember, like, I remember this to like the paint color of the walls today, sitting in my room thinking, did I just get told I was an old pair of socks? Like, did that really just happen? I remember thinking to myself, I'm gonna never be okay with women ever again. Like, I was just like, this is so wrong. Like you know. So that may have been where my Valentine's Day stuff, probably my hatred probably started. So
that makes so much sense, Toby. Yeah, that's where to wrap this section up. One thing, I think one tip we would give, if you have a teenager who's trying to figure out Valentine's Day, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is more the thought and knowing, especially these teenagers, knowing that you were seen,
yeah,
and appreciated. I've heard of kids going and buying ridiculous gifts.
It's
kind of
like the promposals, like, and the homecoming stuff that we've talked about before. Like, it's just, it's gotten way too wild, you know, and just way too intense. And when you're in high school, you should not be buying girls jewelry. Like, no. That's a pretty, like, intimate gift. You know, I mean, not saying don't ever get them jewelry, but, like, especially just for Valentine's Day, like, save that for marriage. Save that for, you know, when you're in a serious relationship later on down the road. I'll tag onto that and say, keep it simple, but also don't do the generic stuff. Like, do something that means something to that person. So, like, if you know that your girlfriend is really into a certain restaurant, like, take them to that restaurant. Do something that's going to make them feel appreciated, that's, you know, specific to them, because that'll go a lot further than the generic teddy bear and box of chocolates. I mean, get them the chocolate, whatever, but do something else that's going to mean something to them. You're young and don't have a lot of money. Make it simple, but make it important to that person.
For the tip this week, Tobin, I want to toss it to you because you recently wrote a blog for Teen Life, and I thought it was great. And you especially had one part in there about a second backpack. So why don't you talk to our audience about that and what that means?
Yeah, so I had a principal for years. 10 of my 14 years, I had a principal. Her name is Shannon Gaunt. She is currently the principal at Arbor Creek Elementary in HEB. I want to make sure she gets credit for this because she's, mm-hmm. you know, she's an amazing principal and was a great confidant for me for years as an educator. But the thing that always stuck with me was that she talked about kids coming to school with their second backpack. And what she meant was it's metaphorical. So a kid comes with their backpack, has their books in it, like they usually do, but they're also coming with their second backpack of, I didn't sleep well last night, or dad didn't come home because he had to work night shift, mm-hmm. or I have a single mom and we couldn't eat last night because we couldn't afford dinner. You know, like it ranges from a simple thing of, I just don't feel good, to my life is literally falling apart. Like, whatever that kid is bringing with them, think about how heavy it would be if they had a literal backpack they were carrying. And maybe before you jump to discipline them or jump on them or gripe about them, think about what they're bringing in within that day. I mean, we've seen this in teen life, but especially, you know, in schools too, every kid has a background that is keeping them from being who they want to be, mm-hmm. even if it's minor. Like, they're dealing with some sort of stress or anxiety in schools, and we have to kind of, you know, do what she said and kind of see their side of it before we are quick to, you know, give them judgment or even help for that matter. Like, I mean, like, we can help them, but sometimes it's just good to see what they're going through first. And that doesn't just go for kids too. Like, that was also for teachers. Like, teachers, like, when I'm in groups right now, I tell students, like, when they complain about their teachers, like, if we're doing the Play-Doh activity and they're talking about their teacher is what's causing them stress, I'll say, okay, totally normal. That's very possible. Right. They might be a bad teacher, but also let's think about what that teacher's dealing with. They're teaching in a pandemic. They have a lot of pressure on them with testing regulations, and maybe they have their own personal baggage. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe they have, you know, family drama. Maybe they are having financial situations, you know, mm-hmm. and just think about what they are going through as well. And I know this sounds hokey, but like, if we could all just kind of do that, then it might help us understand the, you know, the mental health part of this stuff that we're dealing with as well.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.